world and just a lot going on. And man, the Lord just laid something on my heart that I want to speak to you tonight. Nehemiah will be in the Old Testament, Nehemiah chapter number 2 tonight. And I just want to share with you what God has laid on my heart. And I believe that for a time like this, it's just appropriate. I believe in what He spoke to my spirit. And I want to speak on this tonight, piece by piece. Just piece by piece. Nothing is ever done unless it's piece by piece. You can't put a puzzle together if you ain't got every piece. The Lord Jesus can't even put, there's things in your life, if you don't give it all to Him, He can't even put it all back together. You must surrender all of yourself to Him. You must surrender everything to Him. Give Him every piece of your life, every piece of your being, everything that you are. He'll start taking your life piece by piece and putting it back together. He'll start building relationships back. He'll start building things back in your life that you never thought that you would ever open a door or God would ever open a door, and He'll open them up for you. So tonight I want to preach on piece by piece. Have you ever felt like sometimes the pieces don't come as fast as they should? Can I say to you tonight, He can put it back together. Nehemiah chapter number 2 and verse number 5. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. And the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter number 2 and verse number 5, here's what the Bible said. And I said unto the king, Nehemiah said, if it please thee, king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall the journey be? And when will thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judea. And a letter unto Asaph, the king, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertaineth to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of God upon me. Ain't you glad of the good hand of God that's upon us? Man, we wouldn't get nothing done out here if it wasn't for the good hand of God. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. And now the king has sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. And when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Let us pray. Father, I love you and I praise you tonight and I glorify you tonight. Father, I thank you tonight that you can take anybody in this place tonight, anywhere, any place, any time, and you can take piece by piece and you can put us back together. Father, I thank you for that tonight. I thank you for this local body church tonight. Lord, I thank you for what you do. Lord, all over this room tonight, there's been prayer requests. It's been lifted up tonight, Lord God. I pray right now for the little Eastman girl, Lord, that she'll be going into surgery tomorrow with that cancer in her throat. Lord, I pray right now, Father, that it be a successful surgery. Lord, I pray that you would touch in a mighty way. Father, I pray tonight that you would be with every prayer request that was mentioned tonight. Sister Kathy, as she goes in the morning to Oxford for her test, Lord, I pray you would touch all the unspoken tonight that Sister Joanna lifted up. Lord, I pray you touch it as well. Lord, they're just all over this room tonight. People that just need a touch. People that needs pieces put back together just piece by piece, Father. Lord, I pray tonight that you have your will and way. Lord, I thank you tonight for the ones that's with us tonight. Lord, the ones that come to watch the baptism tonight. Lord, I thank you for Cade that he got born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. And tonight he came forth unashamed and was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you for that tonight. Lord, I pray tonight that you guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Let everything I say tonight be all about you and nothing about me. Let me not speak nothing but the truth. Father, I love you, I praise you, and I glorify you. Thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said. Amen. You may be seated tonight, piece by piece. As we come tonight and we see here in Nehemiah, the good hand of God was upon Nehemiah and was leading him into rebuild the walls that were been broken down in Jerusalem. He was leading him back to build back the walls that had been broken down. In the time that we live in right here, there are walls and gates that have been broken down, and God is allowing us right now out here where we're at in the middle of nowhere to build things back piece by piece. Out here in the middle of nowhere, you turn on CNN, you turn on NBC, CBS, you turn on anything you want to, and they'll tell you that the world is in a bad shape. They'll tell you that everything is going wrong. But you can get out here in the middle of nowhere where God has decided to clean him off a place and he just decided to do a work. And I thank God for that tonight. It's not that we're special people. It's not that we're above anybody else. It's just that God has decided to clean him off a place and to do a mighty work out here. And I thank God for that tonight. Don't you? And you say, preacher, what does that mean tonight? That means that when God gets ready, he'll take pieces here, he'll take pieces there, he'll take people here and he'll take people there, and he'll build back what he needs built back. You say, what kind of place are we building here? We're building a place that people can come and it be a safe haven, a place where they'll hear the word of God preach, they'll hear the word of God sung, and we'll come in and love one another like Jesus loved us. And you say tonight, piece by piece, how did Nehemiah do that? How did God do that in Nehemiah's life? I say to you tonight that Nehemiah had an opportunity for God to do that in his life. He had an opportunity. If you'll look with me in verse number 5, here's the opportunity that he had. And the Bible says, and I said unto the king, if it please thee, king, and if thy servant hath found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldst send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchers, that I may build it. You say, what kind of opportunity he had? He seen something needed to be built, and he took that opportunity. He wanted to go back and rebuild them walls that had been torn down, that had been burned down, that had been destroyed. He wanted to go back. He looked for that opportunity to go build and do what God had called him to do. I say tonight that we all have an opportunity for God to build something in our life, something that's been destroyed, something that needs to be repaired. You say, preacher, I may be too far gone. I just come tonight. Listen to me. There's nobody too far gone. There's nothing in your life that he can't restore. There's nothing in your life that he can't repair. You're not too far gone. You're not over the edge. Hey, we serve a God tonight. He never wrings his hand. He never gets upset. He sits on the throne tonight. He knows where you're at and he knows where I'm at. And he's just looking for that opportunity in our life. I see he had an opportunity to build, but I also seen he had an opportunity at a certain time. You say, preacher, do you believe in a God doing that? I believe that 100%. He's a God of time. Amen. He knows where you're at tonight. He knows what you need built back in your life. He had that opportunity to build, but also it was at a certain time. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 6. He says, so it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. He said, not only did he have an opportunity to build, but his opportunity was at a certain time. I believe this 100%, that the time that we're living in out here at Union Chapel, a Baptist church, that God has sent us to build these buildings that we're building for some greater reason than we even know. All we're doing is being a part of his plan. These are tools that he's given us to reach a lost and dying world. You say, preacher, what does that mean? We have an opportunity to build. It's at a certain time because the good hand of God is upon us tonight. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 8. He said that he shall enter, and the king granted me according to the good hand of God that is upon me. Tonight, you say, preacher, what does that good hand of God do? It'll lead you in the right way. It'll lead you in the way that you need to go. It'll lead you right where you need to be in your life. I see here when Nehemiah came, he had an opportunity. He seen something that needed to be took care of, and he took that opportunity. You say, preacher, what does that mean that the good hand of God was on him? He had an opportunity to build back some walls that had been broken down. You say, what's been broken down around here? I want to say to you tonight, as a church, we have an opportunity tonight to build back some walls in our homes. Daddies, you have an opportunity to build a wall around your family tonight. I'm not talking about a sheetrock wall. I'm talking about a stone wall. I'm talking about a wall that the enemy can't come against. I say to you tonight, a family that prays together stays together. You say, preacher, I don't pray with my family. You need to get to praying for them. The old devil knows it. He knows you've got a foothold. He knows you've got a breach in the wall. He knows you got a place he can get in. And you listen to me tonight. When he knows that place, you know what that sorry sucker do? He'll sliver himself right on in there. You say, preacher, what must that wall be? What opportunity must I take? You must take an opportunity tonight to build a wall in your family of protection tonight. Of protection tonight. But not only a protection that we should have here when we're building back and in our own families, but also we should build back the wall of prayer. If there's one thing that we should not get away from in this place, is that God is going to protect us, and we ask for his protection, but also the prayer that he gives us. When Nehemiah came here, he had done prayed. He had done seeked out the protection. He had done went to the king, got the protection he needed, and he began to pray. He began to ask God, what would you have me to do? That's an opportunity that we have in our life. You say, preacher, what else should I have? We should have purity in this local body church. Every local body church needs protection. Every local body church needs prayer. And every local body church, every Christian needs purity in their walk. They need to be pure in what they do for Christ Jesus. I see not only that, but we should have a praise. I'm telling you what, when Nehemiah came here, he had a praise, he had a shout, he had something that the Lord had done in his life, and he sent him with an opportunity. I want to give you this. I wrote this down. Won't charge you nothing for it. I wrote this about our new building over there, Baldwin Baptist Builders. I want you to know what we're not building over there. We have an opportunity, and we're not building what I'm fixing to say over there, okay? If you think what I'm fixing, we're not building what I'm fixing to tell you over there. And I wrote this down. You say, well, what is that going to be over there? That new building isn't a chicken shack. It ain't a place where we go in and eat chicken 3 times a week. It ain't a place we go eat chicken on Sunday night. It's not a chicken shack. If the only thing we're doing over there is going to eat, we've wasted our opportunity. You say, well, we're going over there to fellowship. If all we're going to do over there is fellowship and not win lost souls, we've missed our opportunity. And listen to me, when Nehemiah went to build back that wall, he had an opportunity to do something great for God. That building's being built to do something great for the kingdom of God. So it's not a chicken shack. Hello. And you know every preacher likes chicken. Amen. I say this tonight. That new building isn't a fellowship hall for fancy. If you want that to be a fancy place and you want that to be a place that always stays clean, never gets dirty, never gets nothing, that's not what we're building over there. When the world comes in, there may be dirtiness come in. When the world comes in, let me say this, dirtiness will come in. What must we do as a body of Christ? We must take an opportunity to show them the love of Christ. I'll never forget, I hadn't been at this church very long at all. And the old church sat there and there's a little fellowship hall building. And somebody come got me. I think it was David Barnes, but don't quote me on that. And man, I tell you what, we had a bunch of kids going on, Brother Kevin, Sister Kim. I mean, the youth was exploding, it was growing, and great things was going on, still is, and I thank God for that. And man, I'm telling you what, just good things going on at the church. And man, we was taking that opportunity while it was hot, we was striking, and God was doing a work. And they come got me one day, and they said, Brother BJ, I said, what is it? They said, 2 kids got scuffling around over there, and they run into the sheetrock in the fellowship hall building and knocked a hole in it. I said, how big is it? Said his whole shoulder went into it. I said, are you kidding me? They said, no, I ain't kidding. He said, you ought to come look at it. Man, I got going over there. I hadn't been the pastor very long at all. I thought, this is a good way to get kicked out of the church. You know what I'm saying? Bunch of kids playing, and then busted the wall. And all the way over there, I was thinking, Lord, you got to give me something to say. You got to give me something to say. Because see, a lot of churches don't want kids horse playing. A lot of churches want them to come in, sit down, shut up, and behave and be good. Listen, I got a 3-year-old. He don't do that. I was that 3 years ago. I was the one who said, man, can you not make your kid, in my mind, can you not make your kid mine? I forgot mine's 20. And then I got a newborn, and he's all boy. So me and I think it was David Barnes. I know it was. I believe it was. We walked down the steps, and we walked into the fellowship hall, and I looked, and I'm talking about son, sheetrock, missing. Push back into the stuff. And the first question come out of my mouth was, who done that? You know, I'm curious. What parent am I going to have to deal with? Who done that? And whoever told me that said it was your nephew. He was horsing around over here with some other boy. Who was it? Tanner Holland and Garrett Norton, both of them in Detroit. They knocked a hole in that sheetrock. And the only thing the Lord gave me was this. Thank God that we got kids. We'll sheetrock it, we'll mud it, and we'll do something different. We'll walk back in the building. You take that opportunity to be the body of Christ. You take that opportunity. Nehemiah knew when he started building them walls back that there was going to be some things go on. He knew there would be a task at hand. Not only did he take the opportunity, but he also met opposition. Tonight, I want you to know we're building a building over there that reach a lost and dying world. I told you it was not a chicken shack. I told you it was not a place for a bunch of fanciness, but I will tell you what it is tonight. That building must be an outreach ministry for the master. It must be an outreach ministry for the master that we can win lost folks to him, that we do kingdom work. We have an opportunity here. Not only did Nehemiah have an opportunity, but Nehemiah met opposition. Anytime God gives you an opportunity, you're going to meet opposition. Don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. Anytime you, piece by piece, he gives you an opportunity, and then he allows opposition to come. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 10. Here's what it said. He said that Sanballat and Tobiah, they came, and it grieved them. They heard of it. What did they hear? I wrote this down. The enemy always hears the opportunity you have before you ever start the task. Before you ever start the task, the enemy's done heard. Before you ever put your hand to the plow, before you ever put, the enemy's done heard. Who's told them? I don't know. Just somebody's told them. They hear. They get. They feel what you're doing. They know what you got going on. Nehemiah had an opportunity, but he had opposition. The enemy always hears the opportunity you have before you ever start the task. He said this. He said, and it grieved them in verse number 10 exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. I wrote this. There is always one or two that will bring opposition to the opportunity God has given us. There'll always be one or two that's going to bring opposition to the opportunity that God's given you. Brother Cade, you got saved Sunday. And man, I'm telling you what, you took that opportunity that God gave. He knocked on your heart's door. You opened your heart up. He saved you. What a blessing. But son, I want you to know something. There's opposition going to come your way. There's going to be some folks ain't going to like it. There's going to be friends you got that you may not ever be friends with them again. They may go one way. You'll have to go another. He's going to lead you in the way that you need to go. There's relationships in our life. Once we got saved, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, they didn't want to go that way. They didn't want to go that way no more. He said, preacher, what do? You keep following Jesus. Even though Nehemiah had an opportunity, he got opposition. There's always one or two. You say, preacher, who was that? That was Sanballat and Tobiah. They brought him opposition. Look what he said here. He said this. He said that in verse number 10 there, he said that they was upset. They was exceedingly. That grieved them exceedingly. I'm talking about that the opposition was grieved exceedingly. Why? Because Nehemiah cared. Why was they upset? Just because somebody cared. Just because somebody cared. I want to give you this. The opposition, not only was that, but in chapter number 4 and verse number 1, if you'll look with me there, it says this, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. You said, what would that be? It'd be this. When you have that great, you get to that place and that you get wroth and great indignation. Here's what it would be. They became this. They became irate, or they was about ready to blow a gasket. I've seen it time and time again. Folks, tonight I want you to know we have opposition, but we must keep moving on. The opposition was not only wroth, but the opposition will hinder. Look with me in chapter number 4 and verse number 8. And they conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to what? And to hinder it. When God gives you an opportunity, man, he's gave us an opportunity here. And the opposition is just outside the door. Or let me say this tonight. The opposition could be inside the door. He don't always have to be on the outside. He could be on the inside. The opposition was wroth, and the opposition will hinder. I see Nehemiah had an opportunity, he had opposition, but in verse number 18 of the text where we're reading in Nehemiah chapter number 2 in verse number 18, as I read that, and I've been thinking about all the teams we've had come in, probably, I would say, probably 500 folks. When you say, Brother Brent, probably 500 folks we've had come in and touch that building. And there's been opposition with some of them. They've had opportunities. They've come, and they've hit some walls. Some folks have. They ain't got done what they needed to get done, just like we do sometimes when we go. And opposition comes. They had the opportunity. They came, and they done what the Lord asked them to do. They met opposition, and they kept on. Not only Nehemiah had opposition, but Nehemiah received an outcome. Tonight, don't you give up on what God's called you to do. Don't you give up. You give up today, you'll never know tomorrow. Don't you give up on what God's gave you. Look in verse number 18 of the text. Here's what he said in Nehemiah chapter number 2. Then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me. Here he goes again, talking about that good hand of God. Talking about that good hand of God. Then I told them of the hand of my God which was upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us arise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Why did he have an outcome? God used him and he strengthened his hands. He strengthened his hands. He had walls to build. He had things that he had to get done. And he knew that. He repaired what was broken piece by piece. Nehemiah chapter number 4 and verse number 6, the Bible says, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together into the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. I want you to get this tonight. I want to show you this. If you'll look with me in Nehemiah chapter number 3, piece by piece, I want you to see this. In verse number 2, it says, and next unto him builded the men of Jericho. Verse number 4, and said, and next unto them. Verse number 5, next unto them. Verse number 7, and next unto them. Verse number 8, next unto him, repaired. Verse number 9, and next unto them. Verse number 10, and next unto them. Verse number 11, repaired the other piece. Verse number 12, and next unto them. All the way down through here, he keeps saying that. Verse 16, and him repaired. Verse 17, and after him repaired. Verse number 18, after him repaired. Verse number 19, another piece. Verse number 21, another piece. Verse number 27, they repaired another piece. What'd they do? They took their opportunity, even though opposition, and you can read on in here where Sanballat and Tobiah, man, they even said a fox would run up that wall and fall. Man, they were giving them down the road. They were giving them down the road for doing what the Lord had asked them to do and was giving them down the road. And as I got thinking about that this week, and I just been sitting there just thinking about what God has done in this place and what He continues to do, there's a place for everybody. God has given everybody an opportunity. Every one of these, when they built the wall, they built the wall where they were supposed to. They didn't all run to one place and build. They built where they were supposed to build. They got in where they were supposed to get in. They did what they were supposed to do. They were at where they were supposed to be. If you read on through, they knew the opposition was coming. So then, man, they had to get their swords. They had to lay one hand and have a sword in another. Man, they just got to a place where they just had to fight. They didn't want to be hindered in what God had called them to do. I say tonight, it'd be several of us, it'd be good to get a little fight under us. Or get a little fire under us. Man, we get fired up for ball games. Come to the things of God, we just say, it'll be all right. Just let it go, it'll be all right. And as I got thinking about this, man, this has been on my heart. We have an opportunity out here. And I don't know what God's going to do, but we're building it for bigger than the ones in this room. He's got, an opposition comes. But I'm looking for the outcome. I see the bigger picture. What God's going to do. And I know the painters are with us tonight. But I want to do something tonight before we go. We usually gather around the building and pray. We're going to do that in just a minute. But something's been on my mind. And I got thinking about how that opposition was there. And everybody did their thing and had to build it the way the Lord had asked them to do their thing. And I got thinking about all the folks in here that builds the wall that helps this church. And I wouldn't miss if I started calling people out, but I'm going to call a few out. I'm going to ask David Barnes if he'd go stand over there against that window, just right over there. If he just go over there. Brother David, Brother David's brick mason for the master. And if you got anything to do with the brick masons for the master, I'm going to ask you to go over there and stand beside Brother David. Sit by him, yeah, whatever you want to do. And I'm going to ask Brother Brad if he would. If he'd get right there by Sister Christie, just right back there. Brother Brad's over our Broken Lives ministry, where we go to Broken Lives and preach the gospel. And if you have anything to do with Broken Lives ministry, Brother Brad, I'm going to ask you to stand back there with him. And I'm going to ask Sister Kim, if she will now, her and Brother Kevin go together. If you go back there and stand with Brother Tony. She's over our women's Broken Life ministry, and she goes there. If you have anything to do with Broken Life ministry for women's, I'm going to ask you to go stand by them back there against the back wall. Who's the leader for Baldwin Baptist Builders? Danny. I'm going to ask Danny if he'd go stand with Miss Sharon right there. And if you got anything to do with Danny and you want to claim him, I'm going to ask you to go stand beside him coming around this wall. I'm going to ask Brother Hayden, if he would, to go stand right back here. If you got anything to do with college class, anything to do with college, I'm going to ask you to go stand by them. That's right, baby. You see how we just move around? If you got, and I'm going to ask Brother Cade if he would, he just got saved. He said, man, what you going to call on me for? Oh, Brother Cade, you just a member of the family. Praise God. I'm going to ask you to go stand beside Brother Kyler there. And if you got anything to do with Brother Cade and think anything of him, I'm going to ask you to stand beside him there as well. If you have touched anything on that building over there, I don't care if it's praying for it, cleaning, sweeping, I don't care what you've done. I'm going to ask you to come on around through here. If you've done anything. If you attend church here, I'm going to ask you just to get up here. Come here. I'm going to show you something. Brother Sam, come on. Come on. I don't want nobody left sitting. We all the body of Christ. Let me tell you this. It said, and they repaired next, and next, and next, and next, and next, and next, all the way through chapter number 3. I said, preacher, what does that mean? That means everybody didn't get to touch every work that was going on. They had their work to do. And they didn't worry about the next person doing their work. They did the work they were supposed to do and got done what they were supposed to get done. Tonight, I want you to know this church could not be where we're at tonight if it weren't for everybody in this room. Piece by piece. You say, I don't have very big piece in. It don't matter how big the piece is, a piece is a piece. Sister Fleeta asked me, said, you get some of that cake that I made you the other day, it was sugar-free. Diabetics can eat it. I said, yes, ma'am. So how much you get? I said, I got 2 pieces. She said, what happened to the rest of it? I said, them ones that weren't diabetics, they ate it too. She said, well, I feel so bad. I said, oh, no, don't feel bad. The piece I got was about that big. Listen to me tonight. Everybody in this circle, you're loved and you're important to God. And He's wanting to use you piece by piece. You said, preacher, it don't matter what anybody knows. We all are in it together. So tonight, if you don't think you got an important piece in this puzzle, God's used you in a mighty way. We're going to pray tonight. We're going to ask God to bless. We're going to ask God to touch. And I pray tonight that when you think what you do don't mean a whole lot, remember, God's gave you an opportunity. Even though opposition's come, the outcome's going to be great. The outcome's going to be great. And I'm so thankful we're not building a chicken shack. That's a tool. And you from Baldwin County, thank y'all so much for coming. Y'all have been a piece, an important piece of what we need. Going to have a word of prayer, and I'm going to ask if we would, Brother David Barnes.